for records carefully?
My record, yeah. I heard something without fixing it. You?
I haven't heard for a while. Uh-huh. I want to put out a single.
Which one?
I don't know.
Me too. I know. It's a single now.
I'm going to put out a single. I'm going to put it out. I'm telling you.
Devil Woman should be a single.
You know what? Is it running now?
Yes.
Okay, just let it run.
Yeah.
And as long as I see the meter moving, it means it's recording, right?
Yeah.
So it's all right. No, as a matter of fact, close the door. Thank you. I think that this is not enough for your life now.
Oh, yeah, you got the cover. Oh, yeah, you might.
It's just a proof now. This.
Yeah, man, that's crazy.
Devil Woman?
Yeah, man.
Eat that chicken?
Yeah.
Russians over there? Hope Calling Blues?
Yeah.
Wham Bam, thank you, man.
See? Oh, Lord, it's out there.
It's like a little tambourine.
Yeah.
And this is the mushroom.
Yeah, that's pretty bad, man.
Isn't that something? I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, who did that, man?
My boy and I, you know, my man.
Who, the same photographer?
Laurie. No. Oh. This is a designer.
Yeah.
Hmm?
This is crazy, man.
Mingus is enough. I don't want to say Charlie Mingus. Yeah. Mingus.
Okay.
Mingus, oh yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy, man.
Huh?
Yeah.
Best cover.
That's a weird cover, man.
I have it on two papers, see? This is like...
Even the cover is commercial, man.
Really? Oh, we're going to go all out on this record. Yeah. I haven't made up my mind. See, this is matte paper. This is glossy paper.
Oh, yeah. See
how the colors are different?
This gets more classy, more something.
It is classier.
I don't know what. Right away, I thought, you know, the shine shouldn't be on it. Could they do it without a shine? A flat color?
If you do it on this paper, then it's going to be like this. You can't shine it, you can't put varnish on it. It's just, as you see, that's it. If you do it on this paper, on this you put
varnish over the top.
Varnish over this. Lamination.
Where did this cat get this hog from, man? That's not a hog. That's not a pig. That's a hog.
Yeah. See? Ecclesiastics.
Mm-hmm.
Wild, isn't it?
Yeah.
You think you like this paper more than this paper?
I think I do.
I don't know, man. The only thing I'm afraid of, see, if you do it on this paper...
You get dirty.
This is all so white that in stores and so on, people
have... You get dirty. I know. This is
this, you put...
Yeah. Let me check it now. They have no flat coats to blow that on.
Put anything on that. On this paper, you can't do anything.
Oh, yeah. This is going to shine more. I can see this.
This is going to shine much more.
No, it's got to be extremely shine like that. Yeah. I can see that now.
See?
Yeah.
It's a little stronger.
Yeah.
You see, now, look at this red and this red. Mm-hmm. See, there's a difference. Yeah. Now, they're both lovely.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to tell you something about this here.
This is darker, for instance, than this. Mm-hmm. Even on the black, you see?
Yeah.
Or the blue.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you, this is part for your notes. There's a very contradictory thing in here. On here, I'm saying, like a pimp says, get that devil woman and get me some dough, give me some money. Well, see, right in my book, which I want to explain to you, all my whole life is... up to one level, you know, there is no past, no future, it's all one thing now, you know what I mean? Because if you notice, I turn right around, and on this piece I say, Ecclesiastic, I say, I've been wrong, remember that? Well, see, you can say that's a contradictory, but it's not, because when this did happen, was in a very early period of my life, I'm not trying to tell you it's wrong anyway, but still, at one point, I was thinking maybe it'd be safe to be a pimp.
Yes.
Or something like that. the be a jazz musician.
Yes.
So, in fact, I want to say the whole thing. And the book is written just like this. This girl who I convinced that she should do this was about to go on a very expensive date in Acapulco.
Yes.
Over $3,500 guaranteed for 3 days, you know. Like, uh-huh. She meet this cat. He's a strange cat, one in the quarter and all that. And I had this visitation that if I let her go that night, I would really become a pimp. I mean, a cold person.
Yes.
That and I lose all the talent I ever had. Yes. And it took me hours to keep her from going, because by this time she'd always said, "I'm not revealing her anyway, because it's way out of this period of my life."
I understand.
She said, "I can never become a whore because they don't think they don't." So I sit around. I watch them how they read funny books. She said, "I would never be like that." And so a few months go by, and she says she's just doing it as an experimental, intellectual
exercise.
Yeah, to see what would happen. And so she got caught, and I didn't realize it until this day when I said, don't go. I said, the phone rang, you got to sit here and let it ring. I couldn't hardly get her to come back up the stairs. She's on her way. She's like, but I got to make this money. We'll be out of this trouble. I said, no, we got to get out of this trouble without that money. I just want to tell you that one. Air conditioning?
I think so.
Yeah. See, in the book, well, the book is my life, Nez. I'm not trying to write a book. Actually, I may not even put the book out.
Yes.
Let me just, you know, to analyze myself. All my, you know, I don't know if this is important to you for notes at all, anyway.
I'd like to know, because I'd like to mention the book in the notes.
This is,
or have something about the book.
And this here, and this piece here is about the book. It's, and all my life, I've been struggling and being the color they call me, Miles Maxwell, what can call me, it's spelled S-T-H-I-T-T, but it's pronounced shit. Shit-colored nigga. Well, and school, this color black man would never accept me. See, it's, you've heard of racial discrimination in your own race?
Of course.
Well,
of course.
I wasn't black enough, and neither was I light enough, like Clayton Powell, you know him?
Yes.
To be accepted as the,
yes,
the high yellow.
Yes.
So I ended up in school hanging out with the Mexican cats and Japanese and a few cats that were just scattered around.
Kind of in between.
Yeah, and actually, the closest friends I found were Japanese, the Nobuoka family.
This is in Los Angeles.
Los Angeles, man. And this is going through an analysis. This is what the whole book is an analysis of my life. And I wanted to say Passion of a Black Man, and then it came to me that they say I'm not. Miles Davis walked up and said, make fun of me right now. He says, man, you trying to pass for colored? You know?
Yes, yes.
You did?
I know what you mean.
In fact, I find myself, and I asked myself, like, was I trying to sound real colored on here? Remember I said, and I was saying, am I really that far off? But I don't think so, because I was in this environment, and I don't think the skin had nothing to do with it. I would like to think that in this funny society.
I think that, look, especially if knowing your background and what you just said, you're obviously not in one and not in the other. So you're in a very peculiar
situation. I would like
situation.
To, always, I'm trying to, in the book, I'm trying to find a no-color one.
Yeah, yeah.
I've always, you know, this sounds funny, man. Most of my marriages you've seen all have been white.
I know.
Well, I never met any colored girls in jazz clubs until recently now they start to come out.
Yes. So you never really had occasion
to meet any. No, it was, and I've been, a few people that have enough of like I say, Max, will say, you know, how come you always marry a white girl, and how come you always look like Celia? They even say that, you know, the same one every time. And it is funny that psychologically, I had a school teacher that reminded me of Celia, you know, and the one I got, the wife I got now. Don't mention this, man.
No, I won't.
Yeah, you know what to do.
You're gonna see the notes before they come out, anyhow.
Yeah.
So don't worry. We can say anything you want.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
I'm gonna show you the notes, and you see them, and we'll take out anything you want.
Yeah.
Now I want to ask you a few questions.
I know. I hope so.
Yeah. Now, isn't this the first album where you play, where you don't play one note on the bass that you never made?
Yes, it is.
First, so it's kind of a beginning, right?
Yeah, it
I mean,
is.
In a way. So first, now, why did you decide to make an entire album playing only piano?
I've always wanted to play piano, man. That's, see, it's, at home, I was going to be a piano player. At least in my heart, they said, what do you want to play? But my sister already played piano, and they had to spend the money for her, and they wouldn't spend it for me, so I had to choose another instrument. And somehow, someone had told my father, I'd heard him discussing that a colored kid should play a cello, so he could switch over to bass. And I said, well, I'm going to play cello because I heard a man tell my father that. And the piano, man, I just think I would have been a good piano player. I'm sure, you know, I haven't got time now. I know that, you know, the technical facility I have on bass, I didn't even touch it. I can go do anything, you know?
Yes, of course.
And so I know when I can tell how hard I'm struggling. I've tried to get the left hand up. I'm not going to really make it to do on the piano what I want, so I'm going back to bass. You know, understand me.
But you will, in the future, you plan to play bass?
And piano,
but continue on piano, too?
Yeah, but I made a mistake of putting down the bass. Yes. Well, there's no mistake, because I just grabbed the other day, and I was telling, in the book, there's a piece called Valse Minuet that Jimmy Blanton used to play, written by Serge Koussevitzky.
Yes.
And so, Slam Stewart.
Was a cello player, too.
Yeah, Koussevitzky. I didn't know that.
He was a great cello player.
Mm, I would like to hear him on cello. I know he played the solo bass.
And bass, beautiful. Too. Yeah,
he played this great beautiful. Bass. Oh, man. Unbelievable. That's what the piece, some of the things he did, Boss Minuet and Shots on Threes. So Slam Stewart was at a jam session, and Jimmy Blanton came by, and Red Connell, he was playing Red Connell's bass, and Slam kind of felt, I don't know what he felt, but he said, can you bow in an intermission in the back room? And he said, oh, you can't bow. None of your kids can bow. Run on the bass, but you can't bow. And Jimmy's, oh, man, sweet person.
I know.
So I was nasty, and I felt, who's this cat picking on him? You know, because I said, man, he can cut you on, you know, bowing. And he said, oh, I don't cut him. He says, but I can bow, you know, a little bit. Very kind. He said, don't talk to that, Charlie. He always tried to tell me I didn't have the right approach. And so he wouldn't bow, so I took Red's bass, and I started playing the thing, and it was real bad. It's called Volume 1. It's a very hard, tough piece. And he took it and played. Then we played a duet on it, and we was playing jazz against it, improvising Contrary Emotion. Jimmy Blanton.
You and Blanton.
Yeah. I was just a kid then, man. Yes. But I had that kind of training first.
Yes.
And so I was telling my wife, I said, hey, man, it's a hard piece. I couldn't play it. I bet I can't play it. And I grabbed the bass, and it came out better than ever, man. And I didn't even touch the bass, just like when I was a kid, rather than now, because I don't even bow no more. And I was kind of amazed that how the knowledge that the instrument is. I don't even think of notes. It's like, thung, the sound, you know?
Yes.
I don't say B flat. I got to look at the notes in the piano and all that.
Yes.
And bass is just there, man.
It's just there.
Yeah. Now, I'm not saying this, that makes sense. I'm saying that it's a bad record. I'm trying to say that, no. How can I say that, man?
I know what you mean.
Well, on this record,
always been all the I mean, you've had a career now for about, say, professionally, for about 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yes.
I mean, you started in the early 40s.
Oh, easy, yeah.
Or late 30s, early
40s. That's right, 41, so 39, with Louis Armstrong.
20 years, right?
Yeah.
What was your first job?
Louis Armstrong.
Oh, yeah?
Not my first job.
I mean,
that's
your first
job big time.
With a name band.
Yeah, I was with Lee Young. Well, that's kind of big in a way.
Yeah.
Lee Young is Lester's brother. And we was working at Club Alabama, and Louis Armstrong came in and liked me for some reason and asked me to join the band. I never knew what he meant. The guy said, he's making a Southern tour. So I got in the band and made a few one nights and got to the South, and the guy started telling me about the South, how it was.
You've never been South before?
No, man, but the older fellas, they said, now, you got to be careful when you get down there. And I just, it began to tear me out inside because I knew I would get killed.
Yes.
They told me some of the things they'd been through, and they said, if you can't condition yourself to this, man, you ought to ask Louis to let you go back home.
Yes.
And so I asked Louis to on a boat, man. He made him turn the ferry back around and take me back to the pier.
Oh, yes?
I don't know how he did it. Money, I guess, could get you to do anything.
And you left him?
Yeah, and he got somebody down south.
But you went with him for a while?
Yes. Oh, yeah, I played
how
quite a while.
How long did you stay with Louis?
Oh, let me see. About 2 months. Making a tour around the United States, all around these tours, East Coast, West Coast, then he going south. And I remember we got to Chicago and places like that.
And then you left and Johnson.
Yeah, and man, you know, we're very good friends, even today. We see him on the street, hey, Mingus, you know? Because, you know, he understood being,
sure.
You know, I didn't know what I was doing out there.
Sure, because he came from there, so he had that.
Yeah.
Since he was a child.
Well, you gotta live.
Sure.
And I probably would have made it, Nez. I probably would have made it. I hate to think about it. Because I remember I did what kind of go south with Lionel Hampton and saw some things you wouldn't believe.
You did go south with Hampton?
Yeah.
How long were you with Hampton?
Oh, 2 years.
2 years?
Yeah, 2 years. That was smooth. That was a testing ground, man. I dig Lionel, man. If you put that in print, it would gas me, because so many people say he's a drag. Is that man, does not, everything he say he's going to do, he does it. You may not like his wife, but even she's above board.
Yes.
I work with a band of guys, say they promise this. If they promise the money, you get that. But most guys, when they start the band, they go on cheaper. They think that they should, and they get in there and find other guys getting more, and they get jealous.
You're still friends with Hampton?
Oh, yeah, man. Even Gladys, man.
Yeah.
They see people are very nice people. They every kind of holiday, like Valentine's Day, a card, they give you cards.
Yes.
Christmas, they give you a bonus.
Yes.
And the guys didn't get no more respect. So they began to cut down on things with only the certain guys and privacy.
Yes.
And I can, you know, I saw them try and buy friends, which I know you can't do.
Yeah, that's right.
Because that's really where it was. She would, a guy say, I know a guitar player, kind of popular now. He came to band for $9 a week on the road. That's impossible in those days. Nobody was getting less than 35 then. That's, you know, that's signed, and that's cheap nowadays.
That's right.
For a cat to go out And so he heard the guys getting 135 and somebody getting more. Buckner was getting way more. Buckner was getting lots more. And he got very angry and started telling the guys how dirty they're treating him. So Gladys said, "Fellas, this man came to the band. He said he wanted to join. And we had a guitar player that was leaving. We had two guitar players for a while." She told how it went down. "So now he's telling you that I'm cheating him." Says he gave me a salary. Said to pay him the same amount of money he's making on his job, and that's what I paid him. Uh-huh. Says I wasn't trying to get him cheap. Said that's what he asked for. You know.
Yeah. Sure. Look, everybody doesn't get.
Yeah.
No. But were you fooling around with the piano all this time?
Oh yeah, always, man.
Always. Always.
Yeah. That's so before.
But most people don't know that.
Oh,
most people who know you, you know, don't know.
Well, everything I compose is on piano. Like anything you ever heard me, like for instance, Lovebird, those things have all been played first by me on piano, or else I wouldn't give it to any musician to play. Yeah. I think if it can't be played by the composer, then he shouldn't ask anyone else to play it.
That's right.
It may sound funny, but now I may not be able to play it like Bud Powell, but I can say, I'm going to flip it on you, man. I ain't paid it years, you know? I can play the things, and the finger may not be right, but that's what I compose, man.
You always compose everything on the piano first.
Spontaneous, and the latest thing I've done since tape is to make on tape first and change them around, you know?
Now, I noticed one thing. You know, we've been recording together for many years now. There is never any written music at any of your record sessions, right? I don't think I've ever.
No, by the time we get there, we put it away.
How do you teach the members of your band your pieces, which aren't simple pieces by any means?
Well, I'm very. You got the band, this band here. Actually, Jimmy Nip and Booker have been with me years ago.
Yes.
Well, some of the guys didn't stay long, like John Handy, for instance. But they would learn how to memorize. I taught them scales that go against every chord, and they begin to find that the hearing is simple, much simpler than they thought. For instance, I think it's hypnosis, man. I do it with Danny very, very much. I say, "Man, like you got that. Like you, I know you can do it. You use that thing a whole lot." I say, "I know you can do this, man, because like you think it's hard. As soon as you, I say, if you learn this one note here, that's the only one that's hanging you up. He may have 80 notes, but I show his the hard interval, and once you learn that, then you're straight." And Booker, man, I can take, if I say whatever the piece is, one time, he's got it.
But actually, your method of composition is rather different from other people, because it seems to me that although your pieces are very carefully composed, you still leave them a lot of freedom, even in the playing of the, I'm not talking about the ad lib solos,
in the composition.
The part of the composition, there is a lot of freedom. More than in many groups, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, there is. Yeah, you got a good question. See, it's not a question. You can help to even listening. What I do is, I know it's kind of saying, I guess I'm not selfish. I know if I got a thing, like if I say to Booker like this, well, I know that he can do this. As long as he starts where I start and end where I end. He may say ba ba lu ba. He make many different movements,
and they do.
Yeah, and I think this
and
is
when
better.
When we do two takes on one tune, actually, even the composed parts can be quite different from one take to the other, which shows that even within the composition,
they exchange it. Yes, that's right too. This I think is good though, healthy. I got this idea.
I think it's great, but I think you're the only man who's doing it.
It could be. Could be, I don't know.
I think
Jerry Lee Martin did it though.
Jerry Lee Martin did that too.
I think, now I'm telling you, man, I didn't know this. Martin Williams drugged me. Because there's a thing going out now where guys take one card and they play on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's something else Jerry Lee Martin did. Well, see, I was very interested in this when I first thought I discovered it. And Martin says, "Well, Jerry Lee Martin did that, and here's some music he showed me he did it," and I dropped the whole thing. And now this trend, Miles Davis is making all kinds of money on it.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about? The kind of type of thing. I did it with one tune only with you. That Love Chant.
Love Chant, yes. But I noticed something else.
I mean, it's not like I'm saying I should make money. I don't mean that.
No,
everybody
no.
should make money, but I don't think... You know, Helen Merrill, she said a good words to me. She says, "Man, I don't think I'm supposed to appeal to the masses or millions of people. Like, I think that what I have is for special people. I like that. You know, maybe a little more than she got. I don't know. You know, I don't know if it's supposed to appeal to millions. And if it does, that ain't wrong either. Jesus Christ appeals to millions, don't he?
That's right.
He's a pretty bad guy. Both ways.
But I noticed something else. somehow there is a strong unity to your groups, mm-hmm. and it doesn't seem to matter too much who is playing with you. When people play with you, they play differently than they play when they're on their own.
I tell you what, I've noticed, to ask that question, I go back to Lionel Hampton again. I've seen Lionel Hampton, which I'm sure mass hypnosis, he's, by him throwing himself completely in and accepting the full spirit of the composition, he's made people jump out of the bleachers and break their legs.
Yes.
Now, you know this is fact.
I have
so. Now, anybody who worked with him, they learn two things. You learn, you learn what that is, yeah. and you learn, like Jacket and all the guys,
yes.
that they go complete overboard with this thing, that showman thing, I guess they call it showman. Lionel don't call it showman. He is putting his complete heart in it.
That's right.
There's a difference in saying than watching yourself affect people. Then throw yourself in. Well, I try to see the Hamp's reason. And when I go out to my claim, I still have to wait a month sometime to get to blaming his fingers. When I get out there, I say, all right, Hamp, here it is. And I put my whole heart in it. And I find out that the whole people, everybody feels it. And so playing with the band, and only certain people it affects. I haven't got this one guy, I call his name again, John Handy. I can never get to John. It's uh-huh. because he's isolated in another world that's just as strong.
Yes.
Because John is always conscious that he wants to be a leader. I mean, yes. I mean, usually you would call John Doe,
yes.
if you want to use this
yes.
example.
Yes.
But people like Booker and people who are happy and content and can throw themselves in the plane.
Yeah, well, I have to go with my many mood. Examples.
Yeah.
For instance, mm-hmm. and some of them, they're great musicians when they play with you, and they're great musicians when they play on their own.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not
two different
the
things.
Same.
Yeah, it shouldn't be. This is what it shouldn't
when,
be,
when
man.
When they play with you,
and when I play with them, I should play different.
Yeah.
This is what I learned, man. When I played Hamp, I didn't play my music. I play enhanced music. You help me say what I want to say. That's what's, this is what is probably wrong why I can't play with anybody, because, I mean, as a side man, I would like to, you know, I used to try and say, well, I don't be a band leader. Be like George Duvivier. Just make me a few dates and make me some record dates and make it. But I find that by the time other guys lose their identity, the record date is over with, and it's too late to save the music. Because they're trying to hold on to what they believe rather than say, what does this composer mean, and give themselves up for the whoever
yes.
the leader is.
But they somehow seem to fall. I've seen musicians who've been with you for a very short time,
yeah.
and they're playing your music and not their music when they play with
yeah.
you somehow. I mean, it's part of them too.
Yeah. You're right, man.
It fits into your music.
I got two cats I couldn't change too well. Remember Charlie and Lonnie?
Yes.
The bebop kids from Detroit?
Yes.
I finally got them even. I started making them, putting scale, two different keys on them to make them get out of that bebop line.
Yes.
Because, see, I wasn't combating them. I was trying to fight Charlie Parker, and he's dead.
Yes.
If you got a guy that's completely brainwashed by somebody like that, you can't change them, what they're doing, because Bird's not here to show him what he would do with my music.
That's right.
You know, in fact, Bird would have played my music different.
That's right.
I know he would have, man.
That's right.
That would have been something else.
For instance, Jackie McLean with you
mm-hmm.
was playing your music.
Another thing. Now he's back to what he was doing before.
Yeah. But when it was with you, he was great, but he was playing a different kind of music.
And something else, man, you notice when I was back, Willie Jones and those drummers like that, if you notice always trying to have Jimmy Nip and Danny there, without them it wouldn't happen. I'm pretty sure, pretty sure of that. Jimmy for the lines and the way I phrase things,
yes.
and he also knows he'll show a cat wrong. Almost, you know, like I said, and he'll play it the way I used to play it, and you hear these two melodies going. Because
yes.
he knows that I don't want it the exact same way every time.
Yes.
See,
yes.
this,
so he'll change it on his own.
Yeah, he was give Booker a little different line, and Booker said, "Well, you got a B flat." He said, well, "I know, I'm, you know."
Yes.
yeah, but Danny, I'm getting a little older. Although I don't think it is really anymore. I felt like I was getting tired. That's another reason I kind of laid off bass. I used to have Monk's got the most perfect time in the world. I used to have that kind of time, man. I know it. When it never get lost, you know, but. Taking so many drummers like I did before I got Danny,
yes.
and even teaching him was hard, man.
Yes.
Although he was very talented, if you remember, called him right away.
In the very beginning.
Yeah,
that's right. And technically, he wasn't very strong in those days.
No,
he's just begun to play drums.
Yeah.
He was doing it. I mean, even then, you could tell.
It was in his head, man. See, I showed him a way that all musicians should learn. He was trying to do things. That you like Max? That's good. I said, now, Max makes, you know, okay, now you're going to make this like that. I said, suppose your stick slips. Well, you're supposed to listen to that and make something out of that, too. So this cat began to learn. I said, the whole idea is to keep the time in your mind And if you make a mistake, remember that mistake, and next time make it part of the music. You know, and yes. keep that time going, you know?
Yes, yes.
And I hear that in his playing now. He's got Max, and he's got the mistakes. He's got everything else that goes on now.
But he's making it very well. It's incredible how he's improved.
Yeah, man.
He's been with you about 5 years.
Yeah, he? At least. Seriously. Yeah.
Six.
Going six. I was checking on the Celia, because Celia and my wife, you know, it's 9 years ago we got married. And yeah, he came 3 years, she's been gone 3 years, and he was together 6 years. I saw a cat say the rhythm section, one of the reviews, I don't know what record was, the all-time rhythm section. I think if he listened, he's, or just didn't write that and didn't listen, but there's something to that. It's three things going on always, and it's two men playing.
Which rhythm section?
When me and Danny playing, it's like playing with three men.
Yes, yes.
Because we have that, this going, it's obvious. We have another one going, cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha against it, you know? And you got that.
Yes.
And you feel like it's three things, three people. You don't. That's why sometimes you don't miss the piano if there is none.
Yes.
Although I'm missing for the sound.
Yes.
I didn't expect this kind of review. I didn't know this is more natural than I thought.
This is the first time you're singing, right? This is the album of firsts.
Well, see, not really. Because I've always been saying things that would, if a mic had been close, like you did this time.
Yes.
In fact, you did it once before, I believe, when I hollered.
Yeah.
On
That's right.
The Blues and Roots.
That's
but
right.
I just was afraid. I always want to say things, and people say I'm hollering. Man, I feel that. I'm not affecting that. And on a job, I do it. I'll be singing a song, and that's how Fables of Fabulous was born. By just, I say, name me someone who's ridiculous one night, Danny. And he said, he named one guy. He only could think of one guy. Then pretty soon he named about 10 or 20, you know. I don't know. I don't think about it as showmanship. I think it's trying to be creative on the spot and think of words. Like, I didn't plan those words, and after I heard what I did, I wish I had thought a little longer on that and sung some more, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. Because I kind of like my voice, man.
I like it too.
And but I heard possibilities in it being a good voice, man. Really, you know, I didn't really know until I heard this Devil Woman.
But do you listen much to blues singers and so on?
You know, I was, you know, Joe Turner?
I'm asking you this for the tape,
no. Oh,
you
know, yeah, with Joe Turner. In fact, I was very sick in bed. They thought I was going to die from scarlet fever one time. And, you know, the last thing I had, it went from that, it went to arthritis and all my bones. Mm-hmm. And I met this chick, the girl who married my mother, my sons. Named Jean, and I had no work, and I went down and started, you know, T-Bone Walker.
Yes.
I played raised with him, man.
Yeah,
raised with T-Bone, man.
That's one of my best friends.
T-Bone got me a job, or he liked my family, and I didn't get playing at this point. He said, I can get you the after hour job playing with some club, not the Flamingo, another one down the street, Jack's Basket Room or something. On Central Avenue, it's right across from the pool hall. You remember that Club Alabama?
Yes.
They had one backstage, back of a pool hall.
I know.
Club Alabama across the street.
They had some food in there, too.
Yeah, Art Taylor used to come and play in that cold.
Yes, I've been in that place.
I know, the food was good.
Yes.
It's in back of the pool hall.
They had ribs.
Yeah. Well, I got this job with Joe Turner, and which I didn't realize what I was really getting into. You know, I didn't realize that now the value of the people I played with, Kid Ory, and to know that when I get scared of and tired of hearing the same riffs playing for the young so-called modern kids around that are playing Bird, I can lean back and say, well, this is the way Joe felt, man, being in that environment. Because he's always telling me, man, this is, don't ever let that go.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah. And then I know you got Joe, and I'm hurt your feelings, but T-Bone Walker, man, I think he hasn't been used right.
I know.
Where is he? Is he with your label?
Yeah, but we haven't played.
Is he with your label?
Yeah, we haven't. We you know, I've made records with him and so on, but not what we, you know.
I don't. Maybe it's too long.
There, we don't see him. You know,
oh, that's what it is, man. On the coast.
Know, and you go and you do a.
Man, this dude used to do. Man, he just sit and make up songs like the folk singers do with his guitar. With Charlie Mingus, I'm gonna sing the blues.
Yes.
Words you never heard before, and he just make up a whole story, and you flip, man.
His time on guitar is fantastic, isn't it?
Is this something, man?
Huh?
Yeah, he's something, man.
He's another one. Can hypnotize.
Yeah.
Just. Plays those low notes on the guitar.
He invented the thing that most everybody use now on all the instruments, on the strings, and boom, dang, don't dang, oh, ba, da, da, da.
That's T-Bone Walker.
Yeah, well, a lot of horns during that, man. Yeah.
So you grew up with all those people, huh?
Yeah, T-Bone, and there's a cat named, you heard, trying to play like Fats Waller? There's a piano player named Bottoms. You ever heard of Bottoms?
No, I did not.
Bottoms, just like his name, great big cat, man, and played like Fats, but he didn't sing. But he didn't miss nothing. Remember Garland Finney?
Yes, I remember
this,
him.
Garland Finney had a left hand like Fats, mm-hmm. and he played stride piano. Well, I worked with all those people, like... And then I said Kid Ory. I guess you know about that.
Did you play with Ory?
Yeah. That was...
In the 40s.
Well, you can help me. It's in the 40s, and you probably get the exact date. It's when Barney Bigard left Duke Ellington.
Oh, I know. I heard that band. What year
was that? Yeah, that band. Billy Berg's.
Yeah. I was there every night.
Yeah, exactly. That was a bad band, man.
I was there. That was Kid Ory's first job, because he'd been retired for 10 years.
Yeah.
He came back, and he was in Barney's band. But it wasn't called Billy Berg's, because it was...
This new fancier place.
Yeah.
It's facing the ice skating rings.
Yeah, it was out
remember?
West a little.
I'm trying to remember the name of the place, because it's in my book.
I know. Something room. Zebra room?
Zebra, I think. Something like...
Some room.
Not zebra,
like
you're right, it's a room. It's a French word, I think, like with an E or something. Encore? No?
I've heard... I'll find the word for
yeah.
it. I mean, the name. Because
yeah.
I used to be there every night because Ory was my friend then.
Well, see, you know something, man? He was.
That was in 1943.
He had blisters in his lips when he opened up because he went car fishing together. He started saying, he said, man, I'm not. He says, I'm playing the same thing I played. I'm going to try and change it. What's this music they call now? Bebop? Well, we're going to play whatever I play.
Who's that?
Kid Ory. He says, so let's go craw fishing.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a funny guy, man.
That was in 43.
Yeah, it's right in there, yeah.
That was in 1943. I was there.
You get me straight, man, because I they tried to draft me in 19, when the class of 41. That's around 41 I got drafted. And so they didn't want me, so they kicked me out of the Army. And I came back and got that gig. Yeah, I was a good man.
That was a baby.
Yeah.
There was a red-headed trumpet player, wasn't there?
Red Mac
the trumpet, right?
Bam, bam.
Remember? Sure.
Hey, you were out there when they had Lester Young and Lee Young band?
Yeah, I was there.
With Bumps Myers and remember the trumpet player Camel?
Of course.
Red Mac was in that band him. Yeah.
I used to hear that band. They were playing in the same club, too. They played that club, I think.
So that was Swing. That was, he had the Capri. Remember the Capri? And he had a Swing Club.
Yes. You played the Capri, man.
I played all of them.
No, with Ory and Barney Bigard.
That's
what
it was, Capri. It was, huh?
That's the Capri. That's where it was, the Capri.
Yeah.
That's where you played with Barney and Ory.
Because he had a Swing Club.
I have a picture of that band someplace.
You remember he had one on Sunset Boulevard?
I'm going to find the photograph of the band.
He had three or four clubs going at one time. Apparently.
Yes, he had one on Vine.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
He had the Capri.
The Swing Club was on Vine? And then it moved to Sunset. I'm going to tell you something, man. You know, this is probably going to interest you, but it's in the book. That's why this area is kind of clear to me. I was there with some guys trying to kill Billy Berg. In fact, I might have saved him. I was in the parking lot, and the car comes driving at him. He's running all kinds of ways. They chased him, man.
Oh, yeah.
They ran him out of business. His last club. I saw him go down, man. Mm-hmm. Next time I saw him, he was on Main Street.
You know, he's still out there trying to have... He still opens a club and closes. And he's still doing that.
They're sure against him, man.
Now.
Yeah, they put thumbs
down. Everybody was against him.
Yeah, and he made it so big.
And I think that he was a good guy. You know?
He was, man. You know,
he helped a lot of musicians.
Yeah,
I like Billy Berg.
Hey, were you at the session? You was probably at the session, the all-night session with Ben Webster, Coleman Hawkins, Lester Young, Jimmy Blanton, Slam Stewart. They at his Billy Berg's after our club. The police let him stay up all night till 11 the next day.
No, I missed that.
It was a special session. Oh, man,
that
was something.
That
was something. I didn't even play that night except in the back room, but Blanton, man. A lot of people don't know what they say about bass. Now, that's something I like to clear up, speaking about bass. There's a reason why this guy wrote a review, says Mingus inspired, and Blanton inspired basses. Well, a lot of people don't know my age. See, I was playing, how I'm playing, in 1939, the same way.
Yes.
And the evidence is, I was sitting at the Red Counter as a kid because I couldn't read. Whereas I've been in the cello, and the guy that taught me was Joe Comfort with Nat Cole.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, just turn the radio, Mingus, and start to play it. So I turned the radio and got all off because I was using cello fingering. So by the time I went to Red, who himself was a great soloist in these days.
Yes.
But I guess as you go older, you get tired of trying. And a lot of people don't know this. So I was taking a lesson, and Joe Comfort left Nat Cole, and a guy named Johnny Miller went in. No, it's probably reversed. I think Miller went in first.
Right.
And so Miller was over at Red's house, and Nat had told him to learn Jack the Bear. Now, this is true, man. So I'm going to take a lesson, and I hadn't even heard Jack Barry yet.
Who's going to give you a lesson? Joe Conference?
No, I studied with Red Counter.
Oh, Red Counter.
Joe started me off wrong. Joe's all ears.
I see.
See, Joe's home taught,
Yes.
Playing instrument. He pick up trumpet and play it in 5 minutes if you fool him. You make a new instrument, he'll play it.
He'll play.
I remember a guy took a potato and carved out the insides. He blew the potato. That's right, man. He just fooled around with him and learned how to play it. So what I'm trying to get at was... I've always come in and warm up on Red's bass and fool around, and they were listening to the record. I couldn't hear the record too clear, so I ignored it. And Johnny come on, "Hey man, hey, play that thing again, that Blanton thing." I said, "What Blanton thing, man? I got very drunk."
Yeah.
He said, "That thing, you playing the Blanton thing. We almost had a fight." I said, "Man, I never heard him yet." I said, "I heard he can blow, because Lady Wilcar, a piano player girl, had told me how great he was." And in those days, we weren't jealous of great bass players, man.
Of course.
Today, you got another thing going with cats. It's like they hate you if they think you can play. And I don't feel envy because Oscar Pettiford wasn't like that with me, man. We had complete love, man.
I know.
So finally, Red explained to him that I was a student and just learning to play, and I probably didn't know what I was doing. And so he said, "Well, just fool around and do what you're doing." I said, "Well, I do it different every time." See? He said, "Well, do it different every time, but the next time when I tell you stop, keep holding that thing, And so I said, "People, bebo, do bebo," the thing on Jack the Bear, thing.
Yes.
And what it does, on those days, that was bad on bass. No bass players were playing across the instrument, and I didn't know what I was doing, true enough.
Yes.
And so they got it and said, "Well, man, how you learn that?" I said, "Well, I'm just playing what I felt, I know that everybody knows, and you know that you can recognize an angry sound in a person's voice or a frightened sound. Or a person that's a contented sound, or a nervous sound, like my voice usually is at certain times.
Yes.
Not usually, I should say at certain times.
Yes.
And these are the first things that a musician should look for. I'm trying to say this because I think I do have something special in music, and I'm ashamed, not ashamed, but a little shy to talk, to mention. But it goes back to the question you asked about hypnosis and all that. I'm afraid there is something like that. I don't know what it is because, for instance, Joe Glazer, it's been so funny to tell you all this kind of story, said that two of his agents didn't like me. He says he's been trying to tell them to book me, this is years ago, to come by and hear his band. And so finally, the fella said, "I'm sorry, I just don't like Charlie Mingus. When he's in a room, I feel miserable." Yeah, only one guy said this. The other one never even commented why. And I began to notice myself that in certain moods, I walk into certain rooms and certain things happen. I've never done it to you, but I don't know if anybody can do it. And I watch certain people come in the room, like Bird at a certain time could make the whole room feel the way he felt.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how.
Mm-hmm.
So before he even gets his horn in his hand, I've seen Bud and Bird, Quiet Bird, land down to a certain point where you could tell the audience, it's kind of a miserable agony going on in these two people. And yet Bird could contain himself. So I started experimenting to see what I could do. Now, it's very easy, I found, to do it in the room. The people see me and let the thoughts run through my mind. And I have even sat in places and got people, the audience to come completely quiet. Now, at the show place, I experimented and didn't even come into the room and meditate and say, "I'm coming out in a few minutes. The band's not even the bandstand. I'd like you people to quiet down and have your maybe I'm nuts,
Yes.
But I've seen at times when on a Saturday night, I could do this and feel myself go out of my body almost into the room with the people. And like they say, "He's coming on," And
mm-hmm.
then I come out, you could just, the sudden quietness in the room, Yeah, I don't know how, but it sure is. And I'm trying to say now that in music, I could play a sad thing, you'd recognize it, because you're used to that. And I could play an angry I could play happy little ditties like I do for my baby,
Yes.
There's all kinds of emotions to play in music, but the one I'm trying to play is very difficult now because I'm trying to play the truth of what I am. And the reason why it's difficult, it's not difficult to play the mechanics of it, is because I'm changing all the time. I'm going through, I leave my analyst, and I come back to him. I think he's completely off, and I think he's completely right.
Mm-hmm.
And remember I told you that this is Devil Woman, and all of a sudden I'm saying, Lord, I know I'm wrong. Man, this is the most sincerest album I've done in my life. In fact, I had a feeling I was going to die, man. Not because I did this album for you. I had a feeling that if I don't pull out of what I'm into, I want to tell you this, man, because maybe I might, you know, that I've been going through a psychological thing or spiritual-logical, I don't know which, man. It's trying to reach the contempt and contain myself that I know that you seem to have. I know they can pull you off. Like when your brother, when you thought your brother, you get out for a second, but you got this certain thing that you always can call yourself back and say, let me contain myself.
Yes.
Automatically. But no one ever told me that. I never had any...
Yes.
And it's good I talked to you about this. I never had any idea or father image that sit around and was cool about anything. Anything, so, no, he knocked it down, you know?
Yeah.
This, and what I never felt any love in my family. I finally remember the day I even gave it up.
Really?
I tried to get my father, my mother tried, she was a stepmother, but she tried, and when I found, he announced that she was our stepmother and things, I found out that that man, even today in my life, not that I hate him, it's just, I had nowhere to say, well, what am I supposed to be like? He never even told me that the world was like it was. He never said about black or white. He never told me anything, man. He never even tried to ball my fists up. And and people thought I was a coward because one day a kid wanted to fight me. And I said, all right, come on. I saw people fight, so I did like that, man.
Yes.
And I looked at this cat's man hand, and it looked like a big club. And I looked down his fist. I said, ah, and ran, you know.
Yes.
Well, and no one really knew what was going on. I wasn't a born coward. I just knew that. This is inadequate with
That's
what
right.
this cat has got.
That's right.
And let me get out of here and try to figure out what he's doing.
That's right.
I mean, that, you know.
You weren't prepared.
No, man. And so, I don't care. You can write about this. This is what my music is. I felt just like I feel now when I went to Bellevue one time. Well, I'm not going because I know that's not where to go. And I went. It took 3-4 hours that man let me in there, begging him. Say, well, maybe I'm going to go crazy, but right now I feel like I need some help, and you can give it to me. Some answers I need answered.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I kept having this reoccurring dream that I was in behind bars, in like a prison, and I helpless. I get to climb up, grab these bars, and I wasn't no strength. I'd fall back down. Well, when my analyst that I was going to, after he got me out, began to talk, I discovered this was not in bars. This was a baby's crib. You dig it? I mean, this
course,
is very, very frightening thing, man. I'm trying to tell you what this music is about, man. Because if I had something about my child in there, it would all be down there. Because I was conscious and aware of my mother's death, my real mother's death, in bed, of sucking her breast and having it turn something wrong.
Yes.
And in other words, she must, wherever it was, there was a. They took me and put me in a bed, and I was crying to get back to her, hungry and. She was dead, man. This I do know. My aunt has verified that. They don't even know how I know all this. This is why I went to Bellevue. I haven't told anybody this because I was trying to figure out what the hell kind of dream is this. I'm sucking this woman's bosom, you know, and because your mind don't know if you're big or little. It just remembers the bosom, and you start spitting and things, you know.
Yes.
And then the next thing I know, someone picked me up, and man, it's not really a dream. This is something a vision like, man.
Yes.
And then I saw them carry my mother out. That's when I got scared. I said, man, I know I don't know this. And I went to Bellevue and asked for help. And my analyst thought very little of it. He says, well, I didn't tell him what it was. He says, well, your mother died. I know you told me that. Tell me about her death. And as soon as he said that, I said, man, this can't be. He says, well, were you was any bottles involved? Did you suck bottles? No, I'm a bosom baby. So I called my aunt and find out, you know.
It's amazing. It's amazing that you could remember.
Well, man, it's awful weird because, see, now my stepmother, my father made her jealous because she got and put flowers on her grave all the time. And he accused, got mad at her because she took a picture of her down. And so she began to bug me with a thing about, I know she called me, man. See, I got ears. She said, Charles, that old-time voice.
Yes.
Charles. So I come running home from the kids playing. I said, Mommy, you called me? My stepmother. No, I didn't call you. See, my mother looked just like a witch. Oh, my stepmother, just like a witch. And she today, man, look just like the kind of witch. If she had the hat and the broomstick, she'd be bad. I'm serious. I'm not putting her down. She knows it, man. In fact, I told her I went to see her in California. She said, huh? She like that thing in her hair. I said, yeah, she's bad, man. So I said, Mama, you call me. Come on. She said, no, son. Only thing I can think that must be your dead mother calling you and telling you to be a good boy and look out. Now, And a little baby being raised like this, all they told me about God and Jesus, man, and I made it. If it wasn't there, I made it, man. I believe so hard that one day I went to sit down as a man and relax for a minute, and I was meditating, I studied a little yoga, and I went to get up, and my body stayed there, man. I stood back and looked at myself in a chair, man. I've been scared kind of ever since.
Yes.
Because I couldn't, when I did come back, I couldn't move my hands and things to wake up. And that's part of this kind of piece, because when I don't know how the recording, when I played it, I got to stand where I listened a million times. No, I think it came out the way we played in the room. As close as a record can get it. Enthusiastic. That was a very sacred piece, man. I was from, you know, real church. And no kind of church. It's the thing I'm going through is written in that piece there. Which, as I told you, I thought, if I don't pull out this time, I will die. You know, to talk like this sounds neurotic to a lot of people. My analyst is something you say. But he tried to explain to me why. But they made me believe in Jesus and God. Not only Jesus Christ, I learned all of them.
Yes.
Muhammad, all of them. Yes. To me, all witnesses of God. That the earth to me looks so unfair, not to race alone, just unfair to love.
Yes.
And doesn't do color anymore. It's above that.
That's right.
Man is his only effort, none effort to get along with himself. It's just trying to destroy the earth I would like to for some reason that's not even good to some people. Like, I would like to enjoy kind of outdoor living and things, you know? All I want, man, is to write music and, like, to be able to plant corn. And, you know, I'm going to have a farmer, you know? I mean, this is all I'd like to do is plant my own food and go swimming or what I want to do and go to play gym. But I'm confined, like, in a prison to have to do things a certain way. And I'm not, some people are not, I'm not alone. I can't be alone. I know there must be other people. And no communists, no isms. People that just like to say, well, I think I'd like to go over here for a while and leave my job. I'll see you later. I did something like working today. A man should not have to do this. And I know that you're forcing the system, Nance, but I don't think that
we all have to face that. I mean, in our own ways and in our own occupations or in our own thoughts.
But why, Nance?
We all have to face that, right?
Yes, Nance, but man, we all lie, though. And Celia Mingus is the only wife I know, woman or person on this earth that has ever lied. She go to the boss, she didn't say she's sick. She said, well, I know I'm doing my job and you can't get a girl to do this much work. I can take it home and do it and bring it back to you. She said, I just don't feel like working there. I'm not coming in. You can fire me if you want to. And for some reason, she got away with that. Most people say, oh, I'm sick. You know,
yes.
And there is a day when you don't want to go to work, man, but you got to lie about it.
Yes.
Not you.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. The guiding, the idea that has governed life to make us think that we have to live another way than some other man way before we were born, said.
Very few of us are free.
I know, man, I know.
Very few of us are free.
That's the word is, we're invisible slaves.
And we're slaves, either really slaves.
We're really slaves in the system.
Or we create our own slavery.
Yes,
you understand?
Yes,
it's our own illusion.
This could be mine. This, I hope,
you understand?
It's not.
You create your own slavery.
Nez, this could be it, though. But man, I know you could make all the money you want and still be the kind of slave I'm talking about.
That's
to the system.
Of course.
Because
there's absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
You still create obstacles for yourself.
Does it mean it's really not the way you think it is?
That's right.
That's what I'm trying to get through. I'm gonna get through or die. Because I'm not going to, next time, if I sit down, this is not what's going on, but this is one time it did, trying to resolve my philosophy. I got I was so loose, I got my body and got scared because I couldn't hardly move myself again. Well, this time, I'm just going to, I'm just going with faith and see what kind of man I am, because I'm not the picture that I've drawn to some people. I'm not cruel, man. I love my little baby,
that.
Man, so much, man. I'm trying to give it, man. You know, I'm gonna get it. I'm gonna whip her, man.
You know, I know.
Yeah, I know. We got that. I know that, man.
Long time ago.
Yeah, man.
Now listen, tell me a little something.
I'm sorry to get on that, but you may have something there. You may
tell me a little something now about the tunes in this album.
Yeah, well, I was trying. That was based on Enthusiastic, what I just told you.
Yeah.
My struggle within myself to free myself from my imprisoned, my invisible prison chains, and also the ones that I have the reality. The real ones that I know are there, and I don't have to lie to myself. Like an analyst told Max Roach, that he has a right to protest, not the way he does, but things are unfair to the black man. Well, this is true, but he's got to look at the other black men that go through strong, yes, and don't go around hitting at iron walls. And this is what my problem has been too. But the main thing, I feel people have chained me to a wall because they heard I'm a certain way. If I can get rid of that image, you help me do that, then I can make my living, because I don't fight club owners. I don't tear pianos. Yes. They tore my bass up. They didn't, remember you read that at Nine Beat? Charlie Mingus broke the strings off piano? They didn't tell you the man destroyed my Italian instrument.
Yeah.
You see, Mingus did it, it's got to be right.
Yes.
They don't tell you about my bass, man.
Yes.
The movers knocked over me, pounds to fix it. Well, that's one little thing. Now, I tell you about Devil Woman, that, and then it completes from here to here, from the Devil to Ecclesiastics, contradiction. One cat is saying, I want Devil Woman, get out, get me some dough. And saying, Angel Woman got to go and all that. Well, then they turn around and say, I know I've been wrong. Well, when I tell you about trying to send this girl out the streets and I couldn't make it, I'm not really I'm not a pimp. Yes. Yet, man, there's a lot of money in it. But I can't, it's not being a coward, Nance. I know what this is wrong. I do know what God means. It ain't no jive, man. They can sell it any way they want in churches for profit, or so the ministers won't have to go out and teach in the streets no more. They can keep it and commercialize it so they want, the truth is kind of lost like they're doing. But this kind of church that is in a man that lets him know that there is a right, a single right and a single wrong, that includes me and you. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't step on each other's feet without saying, excuse me. And if we do it intensely, something's wrong with us, and we got to spot all this and get it out of us.
Right.
Now, that is the truth that I'm concerned with, and as far as God is concerned. I don't want to shake his hand.
Yes.
I mean, I don't want to say, hey, man, I don't want the Immaculate Conception is unimportant if it's happening or not. It's what did the cat do after he got here, and however he got here, he was a little baby, and he grew up and learned certain things, and did he speak the truth? Not did he do any magic tricks.
Yeah.
This is what I know. I got to get straight in myself. Well, this title, Oh Lord, Don't Let the Doctor Tommy Bomb Me, is my selfish me. I didn't realize what the hell I'd said to my wife. I said, like, drop it all over the world, but don't drop it on me, man. and now I know that it's also them. I would have said white. Well, not white, white man or whitey. What I mean is the power, the invisible power or source that seems to have kept the world in the history of the world in its history, and certain kinds of people's power to where we are still pawns. You're a bigger pawn than I am. A knight, maybe. Heaven inherit to the thrones.
Yes.
Some people I met whose parents, they can chase all the way back to England, the kings and queens.
Yes.
And how did that cat look back there and figure in his system so his daughter would inherit $1 million today, I mean each year, $28.9 million, and not even be taxed on it? And then have other little corporations she'll set up and cheat me if she could and feel good about it. Oh Lord, don't let the doctor talk about me. And I think it's funny, because I think the cat is saying they're going to destroy the world. I'm not for the atomic bomb, but I'm kind of for give me liberty, give me death. For one man to think that a man that didn't make all this, hanging out in space, it's what, the universe is hanging in space. Could be seven more of these universes with Earth and suns and solar systems.
Yes.
What makes this man, you got Lamar, think he can blow it up? And he didn't make it. Can you imagine a cat destroying what's that, Empire State Building? And he didn't build it? You take a cat, the average cat, tell him, you got a job, destroy that building down there. Go destroy it and see what happened to him. That's why I am on Atomic Bomb. When the cat think he made that and can destroy life. I mean, the inside of life that comes from you living and breathing and thinking and not ever knowing what caused it first and not supposed to know till you go back and have to do it all over again like you've been doing. And that's why you're so contained, too. You've done it millions of times, Nance. Bird, too. I know, man. You've been here. I know, man. Certain people I feel, they've been here. It's not that has they don't they're not supposed to run and rush back to death because they know that's life.
Yes,
it's you help to educate this whole scene here. This is one of these things out in space I believe is maybe way behind time, as far as here's my final thing on God. God, if God was singular, he was a lonely being. They said there's one God. Well, he's pretty lonely, and I think he split himself up, so to speak, and made lots of people with all kinds of various ideas to communicate, so you had to sit and rub his body and say, oh man, you know, all by myself. And then by having you over here and even the gangsters, everybody thinking something wrong, that's him. And he got to figure it out himself. You dig it? Like this big invisible source is us. Yes. Now, the spirit of him is in a bit in every one of us. We can ignore it or we can be completely blind to it. We can be killers and murderers, but it's still there. There's the divine source of creation. Hog Calling Blues. I have to be honest, I titled that mainly because of what I heard. This is a case where a man in the band was so strong, you mind me saying, you know, Roland Kirk, that he put his entire personality to my music, and I went with him.
Yes.
It became rock and roll. I said, well, man, I'm going there too. Yeah, good thing about it. Yeah, I did with him. Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. It's something that Max Roach used to say every time that he'd get those things and not going to clubs in Holland, you heard about. Well, say on in Prince, the time Max feel an inability to express his inner emotions, he says, "Well, Miss Wham Bam, thank you, man. This is the way it should be, you know." And I just copped the title, and as a little thing to Max, you know. Eat That Chicken was, as I said, sure I've heard Fats, but I never heard Jerry Roll Martin in person. Maybe I did in a union one time. He came by and gave a lecture, but I don't remember him playing. I was trying to capture only what I heard him do once, Fats. And because of Martin Williams, making me realize that if people go back in classical music and trace the old composers, that maybe before you can really be considered modern, you should be able to go back and do what those cats did.
Yeah.
It's not too hard for me because I haven't really been that far removed anyway. I've been accused of being very far removed, but I don't think so. I don't think even on it is. I hear so much folk music in his playing is ridiculous. I don't think
complete,
he's modern.
Man.
I wish that these people would stop getting rid of that word. They call him weird and all. He's not weird. If they listen in here, he's not weird. He's playing music, man.
I know. And it's music full of roots.
It is, man.
It's very traditional.
Every day, man.
That's the way it sounds to me. It's very traditional.
Yeah, man, it is. And man, what they're confronted with is the man, really, he's got his own sound and tone. He ain't playing like Bird. They're so used to hearing everybody sound the same. Eat That Chicken, I say, originally why I used to announce it as being a piece that Fats Waller wrote. What I really was, the truth is, I like to think he wrote it.
Yes.
Because England, I've heard some symphonies he wrote. And I summed up all the things he did as a clown, as a protest after I heard about what a serious musician he was.
Yes.
And got a chance to do some of these things in England. And also had a degree from Juilliard, which I didn't know. And to be a classical composer and also an organist, and was not able to get fair employment, let's say, in the wider field of music, say the full scope of music, not just in clubs.
Yes.
So he decided to pull his hat and go and make as much as he could, and he made a million or so, I imagine. And I was thinking about maybe I'd like to make a million too when I did it. No. And I think I told you about Passions of a Man. I think everybody that's creative as a ham. When you really get down to it, a person, not really, is creative. He's an actor.
Yes.
The mood or something, unless I say you can make what, remember I say the thing I'm trying to make is the ultimate expression of the true thing that I see, and which I say I'm trying, or else I would say I meant it. I'm trying to make that now in this age I'm in now. But a man is trying to react something he thought before and recapture and call it creativity. He's a ham actor. And this is a school after dramatics. And I've always wanted to do something like this because I can change my voice. Hello, Nessie. How are you? No,
yes,
by Joe. But all the things.
Yes.
In fact, I was jealous when Philly Joe got his out.
Yeah.
We used to do that together. Johnny Holo's boy, you know, his old chapter. You know, we talked, you know, to each other, the things like that. Except he did one on Dracula, which I never tried Dracula. But I had many voices, man. And I was, even this day, I made a mistake and put the earphone on both ears. and I couldn't hear what I was doing, but I liked it so much, and I got through, I decided to leave it that way, you know, rather than make another one.
But it's kind of very different from the rest of the album, isn't it? I mean, it's, that piece is kind of apart.
And there's, if it hadn't been for you, everything I've done would have been like this. In fact, I'd have been somewhere else right now, but you went back, if you check with Pithy Council's Erectus, that was, I think that, I have to say Duke, because I read this on the back of my album, and he said, he is, years ago, in the 30s, I'm trying to play music to introduce people to the music that I like to play for them. And I've got to start somewhere, way back someplace.
Yes.
And John Lewis has said this, very simple, to get them to do this. None success is that I kept starting way up somewhere, close to it, but never what I really believe, like the roots, like Fats and people like this, which I really do and have been raised around. And if that didn't work, I'd go back farther. And finally, this album seems to go all the way back there and come up to...
So it has the two extremes.
Yeah.
It goes from one end of it, right?
It sure does, man.
It goes from one extreme to the other.
And I've always wanted to use voice, too, man.
In a way, it's like the story of your life, kind of.
It is. You got it. It is.
It has the whole span.
Except someday I'm going to have me a big band to record with. But only when I merit it, man. See, you got to make enough bread to record. I don't want to cause you some bread that they wouldn't pay for. But
I'm sure that they...
I've been wanting to do a big band date for you, man. Because no big bands are playing... No big band, excuse me, man. Bass is playing the same. Now, even he must have thought of something else, but the conventions keep him there. Ray Charles changes. Even he changes since I've heard him before.
Yes.
He changes now. I'm not trying to say because you haven't got him anymore. But I've heard change in his voice.
Yes.
Now, Duke admits he stopped because they couldn't seem to accomplish what he's trying to say. But when Dizzy got his band, Dizzy spoke to me and said, "You want me to write some things?" And his band broke up. Not this last one, the first big band. It's something he started doing there. Remember, what was that called? No, it's all tempo. It's what John Lewis and what's called Third Stream.
Yes.
Diz did one right now with his big band.
Are you talking about the one with Johnny Richards? Is that the one?
No, some young kid did this. Some new cat.
Oh, Lalo Schifrin.
Yes.
Yes.
Where's he from?
Argentina.
Yeah, well, I heard this man...
Educated in France, in Argentina.
Yeah,
I thought he was a French conservatory.
Yeah. I thought he was a French composer, but I heard.
Well, his education is French.
Nah, I was like, I got nothing like that. But yet, I used to write like that. When I heard this cat, I said, man, you know George Handy?
Yes.
Man, we used to do things and meet and say, man, how the heck are you going to write this? And I met you, and it's so similar. He used to be a good booster of mine. Johnny Roberts even tried to help me on that in California. When I was trying to write for big band.
Who did?
Johnny Richards.
Richards,
yes. Was only band, Sonny Burke was going to do something, and the band broke up. Remember that band?
Yeah.
He had several of my pieces.
Yeah.
I still have them around, but that's not it either. It's what something in the union idea is blues and roots gave me the idea. This is big band music, man. Like the. One horn, oh, bro, did, oh, did, ba, ba, da, ba, da, da, da. Now, that's the reed section.
Yes.
You dig it? Now, like, they're playing parts. It don't have to be a riff, but see, that's the start. Now, dig it. It starts there, snares, but the whole thing I do, the reed section, to give you a picture, is like a solo, but one that's constructed so it's not too much going on, but a bo ba do dee bo do go ba da ba do do down ba do do resection. Everybody's blowing. You follow that resection? When they finish their line, they keep it going, it becomes a background for the next line, the same as we did in that. Man, I know it's gonna upset the people, man. Dizzy called me, he just heard Blues and Rich, you know. You don't believe it, man. This cat almost crazy on the phone. Man, you motherfucker. You saw man, what is this shit? He said, I didn't know you were doing all this. He just last week, man.
No kidding.
He's flipping on that record, man. He said he had it in the house there on his shelf. And he had a rehearsal. He said, I'm going to play Omegas. Let's have some laughs, that weird shit. And he said, man, why they call you weird? He said, that's church, ain't it? He said he put the record on. He said he'd like to flip, man. And I'm saying, one of the things I want to do with a big band, man, not the big band ain't dead. See, if you keep doing what they're doing, you're going to think it's dead because you hear the brass. Choo-cha, do-da, do do do, reach, do 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 do. Plunk, plunk. You think it's dead, man.
You've heard it for 25 years.
Niz, there's something out there for you, man. There's something, just like you change your suits.
Sure.
You don't wear the same suit you wore 50 years ago. It's sad for you, man.
But it hasn't happened in big bands. Nobody has done it.
No, man. I know they haven't, man. I think I'm going to do
it. Right. In 20 years, there has been no really important...
No, it hasn't, man. That's why Duke and those guys are supposed to sit there.
Yeah.
But the thing about it, maybe they're responsible. I don't know. This, I'm no judge anymore. Just sit back. There's something to be done, man. I'm pretty sure some of these things are things to come.
Yeah.
Was a direction, but see, young band, all the guys sitting there, and everything is running good. You know, too much.
Too much.
Take some of it out. You know.
Let it
digest, man.
That's right. Now, some people will think. Maybe I'm wrong, but let me just ask you this question. Some people will think that in some of these pieces, you're putting the music down.
Putting someone on. No.
But you're not doing that.
No,
right?
Man. No, man.
I think we should make it very clear.
If I'm putting it down, I'm putting myself down. How could I put down Fats Waller? How could I put down the kind of thing I was singing on Devil Woman or Ecclesiastics when this is everything that's in my life? Fats is in my life, and jazz or whatever music you want to call it. Or I wouldn't be playing. It's a music that he was responsible for that creates my living. And Ecclesiastic is a bastardization of the word ecclesiastic. And I, as I said, used to announce it, it's still my identity is trying to be accepted by my own people as a black man. The whole struggle, the whole truth in this record of what I think good of myself and bad of myself is in this one record here. So if it's insincere, then I'm not alive, because you can't live and be insincere. I mean, I'm trying to hang on to everything that I know is true, and I'm looking down at your titles right now. Oh, Lord, don't even drop the Tommy Bahama Me. And I know it's a selfish title, because some other people don't want to drop nowhere near them. Now, Hard Calling Blues was after I wrote a tune and given the lines out, Roland Kirk took over and played his way, and by me staying and playing what I'd written in the forums, and not going to him, I would have destroyed the piece. So I saw what he had, and it came out like a farmyard smells. You know what I'm talking about? If you get near it, you're going to know some pigs around there. And I said, my friend, Wham, it sure is funny how you got it. Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. You got quotations and question marks and things. You know, because that's the way I would feel. That if you write what Max would feel at a certain time when he'd say this thing as a question, and what is the answer to my life, Mingus? Where do I go? What is it all about? So it's like, it shouldn't be like that, Mingus. Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. It's supposed to be clean and cut dry so I know what the answer is. And Passions of a Man is still tying up as me trying to identify myself with something. I've often felt no flag, no country, no love or nothing. And maybe, as you say, it's me living in a world that I made for myself. I don't know this yet. You could be right. You haven't said this about me, but you said it could be this, that people do this. Maybe I've done this to myself. But I doubt that all of it is like this. There's some reality in the fact that they are killing each other. I mean, races are killing each other because, not really because they're a certain race, really. It's a little cleaner now. You can tell what it is now. You can tell that it's the economic setup of the system. So here I made a record called Passions of a Man, and I really said it was like the passions of a black man. But the black people that I've met in the past, which affected me most as my childhood, made me feel that I wasn't good enough to be black. I wasn't like, who am I? Like, you know, my hair wasn't beautiful, nappy like there was. My skin wasn't dark, ebony, black, and beautiful like they were. They made me feel ugly. They called me shit-colored motherfucker. Black, you little black, you half yellow shit colored motherfucker. That's what they called me all through school, until I learned to segregate and segregate myself from them. And I go to the white man, he wouldn't accept me. So I end up by myself and find maybe a Japanese kid who would say hello, and we finally get a couple of words in the next hour and it said, how you doing? And he finally tell me he was kind of lonely because nobody talked to him. And we got a little kind of another thing going. And a couple other cats, you know, like a couple of color cats came in, like Buddy Collette. He was black as tar, but he came in with us because he didn't dig the black cats or the yellow cats that congregated and segregated and made hate up. Buddy joined, and he was black, and I was shit color, as they said, and Noble Oki was slant-eyed. And there was a Jewish fellow there named Levy. I don't remember his first name now, but I remember it was Levy. And there was a Greek fellow who was following the store. These kind of people got together and started talking about things that I don't think people are talking about yet. And I'm still trying to tell you that if this record ain't sincere, then I'm not sincere. I'm not here. So you're not hearing nothing. I'm not really saying nothing else. I wouldn't know which they would think I was putting down, Eat That Chicken. It's a happy piece of music. And
now, I was just going to come into that next, you know. Now, in this session, unless I'm mistaken, this session was not really carefully planned as some of your other albums were planned. I mean, you came and...
Well, we played.
Right? I mean, you played and you sang things as they occurred to you.
Yes. It's very natural.
You hadn't rehearsed those lyrics and so on.
No, I had no idea. No.
It was really, you were improvising the words along with everything.
Yeah, I really want to sing. I want to sing, because I like my singing voice.
Now, there's a lot of emotion,
mm-hmm.
right? There's, you mean everything, it's full of, but at the same time, there's a lot of humor.
It should be, man. When that goes out of life, we all go, I guess.
Right.
If you can, man, I've been the sickest, and if you can laugh, it kind of smolders away.
And there is humor, but because there is humor, it doesn't mean you're putting it down at all.
Well, I think if they listen, they'll see that because it's pure humor. And then when this here goes to what it goes to, which is the key of note. And there's a little story going on that I'm sure you heard.
Yes.
It mentions Little Hate. It says America.
Yes.
And it says nigger. And it says nigger pretty not clear with an accent. Nigger.
Yes.
And he says, yeah. I'm getting a thought that says, where? In America. They call him nigger, nigger. And he goes, yeah. And then there's a little threat to that, as you said, mau mau. Well, a person can get the whole story. That I heard a program that was Spanish, that advertises, really experiment. And it's very good. Sweet. You know, I said, well, you can tell a story like that. You know,
yes.
I didn't understand what they were saying, but they were selling really experiment and it was sweet and it was good gum.
Yes. Yes.
So that's why I say, well, I can get a point over like this, and I think I did. Because the whole thing ends with saying freedom over the world. That's the whole thing that would give people any kind of peace is freedom. To say that I ain't got no chains on me don't mean I'm not a slave.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
And as you say, I still can't believe what you said, that I might put those chains in myself. The extra ones. But that's something,
Yeah.
But this is not it. You know, man's not responsible for this. You know, it's how do I know all this? I got the God's answer. I think I have. When I said that God has been split himself up in all these ideas to make it last, to make it good for him to live, because he couldn't sit there and rub his hands together and say, well, what a nice day it was.
Yes.
So he's speaking with each other in our bodies. And how's it going, man, I'm going to tie it together, I thought.
I think you have.
Yeah.
I think you have.
Yeah. How can you say you're not enjoying it? Or how can I judge and say it's ugly or bad or good when it's just for me like this and I'm only a part of this eternal life or this part-time life? Well, it's been going on quite a while now, so it certainly isn't part-time. I guess if you did about everything you can do.
Yeah, I guess that's it.
Oh, some work for somebody.
Well, look, I'll show you something out of all this.
Okay. I felt that we should do it like this. I don't know.
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah. It's a good idea. Said it so fast, you know.
I'm going to... edit and show you probably more than what we can use, because you know, liner note, you know, can only be like
so much,
1,000 words, 1,200 words or something. I'll just take the essence of it, you know, like
a lot of things I said twice on there.
Just the body of it,
yeah.
And I'll show you probably even more than we need. And
yes,
you can just cross off,
yes,
and just leave there what you think is the essential thing,
yes.
And I probably won't even do it like a dialogue, but just things you say. I'm not going to worry about making it a complete story with the beginning and end.
Yeah.
Statements from Mingus. You know what I mean? Yes. It doesn't have to be related like one article.
Yes.
You know, like one paragraph. That's good. One
on each one of these tunes.
Or tunes or ideas you have. Not just on the tunes.
Yeah.
You know, like you talk about, say, I don't know, Blanton. Separate. Yeah. Something about this tune, separate.
Yeah, that'd be good.
And you know, and then I'll mention your book.
Okay.
If you're interested in that.
Yeah, the book. Because this is the book.
Logical thing.
This is the musical part of the book.
This is the musical
part. It sure is, man. It's right there.
Charlie, thank you very much.
Thank you, man.
It's going to be great.
Thank you for letting me do it this way. I wasn't really surprised.
Man, I love you. You know that.
I know that. And there's, you know, the feeling I had when I told you I like doing it on tape? I felt that you thought about it, too. I said, man, the way you said yes, we'll do it.